Okay, if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 33. Let's just bow our heads in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, we thank you for your word. It's so powerful. Lord, as we've worshipped, we just sense your presence. But Father, we know an important part of worship is to sit under your word and to get to know you more. Lord, to get to know your call and your purpose and plan for our life. And Father, this morning we come with open hearts. Lord, we ask that you'd give us a vision for where we need to be as individuals, as a church. And Father, that you'd call us to commit ourselves in 2020 to what you want to do in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power, its equipping. Lord, the fact that it leads us to you. And Father, we pray now that you'd minister to us. Lord, as we pray, we also want to pray for folk in China, especially who are facing this virus challenge. Lord, we ask that you'd give the country wisdom as they deal with it. Lord, around the world as it spreads, we just pray that you'd give doctors and leaders courage and, Lord, give them wisdom to deal with that threat. But Father, now we ask that you'd speak into our hearts. We pray this all in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to look at one of the great texts of Scripture. One of the texts that is a great, great promise. Matthew 6, verse 33. It ranks along Romans 8 and verse 28. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And even John 3:16, the verse that's Luther said was the Bible in a nutshell. This verse ranks with those. Matthew 6 and verse 33, you can probably quote it. But what? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Now, when I grew up, this text was part of our diet with a church. They drummed it into us at Sunday school at home. We grew up, we weren't very wealthy, but our parents always reminded us that God is faithful, and if you seek him, he will honor that. Now, this verse, if you want to sum it up, means put God first, and you'll have all you need. And I think that's very true in my experience. People become Christians initially, at least for different reasons, but perhaps the best statement I've heard comes from Joni Erickson Tada, the lady who, if you remember, she dived and hit a sandbank and she was paralyzed right through her body. And she said the following: I'm not a Christian for what it does for me. I'm a Christian because it works. And of course, it's so true, isn't it? That God is faithful and true, he's real. And of course, as we look at a text, we always have to look at the context. We need to put it in context. And this is one of these verses that is true in its context, but it's also a promise that can stand by itself. Now, the context is what? What is the context of that verse? What is the context of Matthew 6 and verse 33? It's very pertinent. It's all about worry. All of us worry. And Jesus says in the context, do not worry. Do not worry. Food, a place to stay, clothing. It's on God's prayer list for us. He will provide the essentials. Get your priorities right, says Jesus, and everything else will fall into place. Those who place a priority on material things, whether it's prestige or earthly honors or a huge bank account, they certainly won't like this verse. I can tell you now. If the priority is wrong, they won't like this verse. But the person who wants to put God first, there's a bonus in this text. If you had not sought material things but God in the first place, here comes the wonderful surprise that God will look after your material needs as well. Now, remember Solomon? God came to him and said to Solomon, whatever you ask, I will give you. And this was Solomon's moment. He could have had absolutely anything he wanted. And we find Solomon's reply in 1 Kings chapter 3 in verse 9. And he says the following: So give your servant a discerning heart, to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Well, God is so pleased with Solomon's response, and he responded with a wonderful and an extraordinary manner. And we see it in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among the kings." Now, what we learned from this episode, from Solomon's life, is that it's prudent, it's wise to please God with our request that we give to Him. Now, there's an old saying, you're never too old to learn. And I think the older you get, the more wise you become. You're never too old to learn. And here's one lesson that we are never too old to learn. It's from Psalm 90, verse 12. And the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Now, what that means is that we need to ask God to teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are and help us to spend them in the right way. Somebody has observed that life is like a dollar bill. You can spend it in any way you like, but you can only spend it once. Now, when you spend money, there are only two ways to spend money. You can either waste it or you can invest it. And I want to say this morning that that is very true with all of our lives. We can either waste our lives or we can invest our lives. Now, whether you are 6 or 60, whether you are healthy or wealthy or puny or poor, you can certainly make the best of the rest of your life. Now, our theme this year is your kingdom come. And I think if you've got to summarize Matthew 6, verse 33, what Jesus said here, we can summarize it in three words. First things first. First things first. This is what Jesus is talking to us about. It might sound simple, but I want to tell you, if you're beginning today, that you constantly and consistently put things first, the right things first, that will absolutely transform your life. Let's unpack this verse. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The first thing we see in this verse, it's a pursuit. And Jesus says, seek. Seek. Look. The word seek means to search, to look, to pursue. And two things are implied here by Jesus. Time and effort. Time and effort. This verse isn't a quick fix. It's a lifestyle. Jesus is not saying, try seeking God today if you want material things tomorrow. Jesus isn't saying that. No, this is a lifetime pursuit. It's a way of living. What makes it a search is that we don't get immediate results. It means effort, it means energy. And what you're going to find doesn't come to you. You've got to go and find it. Had Jesus said, receive the kingdom instead of seek first his kingdom, that would mean we've got to do absolutely nothing. But Jesus doesn't do that. We could just take it and say, thank you very much, and get on and get our material needs met. But that is not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God. And that's a pursuit. Now, it's interesting that the Greek word, which is zeto, it's an interesting word. It's used 119 times in the New Testament. Often it speaks about God seeking out man. Luke 19:10, we read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, when God looks for us, He puts effort into it. He meets us on a personal level. He does something in our lives. And that's exactly what that word seek means. Hebrews 11:6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." God wants us to seek His kingdom. Now, it's very interesting if you go through all the Gospels and the kingdom theme goes through the whole of Matthew and the other Gospels, but it's very significant. You never read about finding the kingdom. Ever realize that? We're told to seek the kingdom, but we're never told about finding the kingdom. Jesus doesn't say to you, find the kingdom and then get the benefits. He doesn't say that. He tells us to pursue, to seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you as you seek the kingdom. Are you pursuing the kingdom? Are you seeking? Are you pursuing the kingdom of God? Firstly, it's a pursuit, but second, we see our priority. Notice Jesus says, seek, what is the next word? Seek first the kingdom of God. If Jesus had not used that word first, you could regard this as like you do a shopping list. You could pursue the kingdom of God while you pursuing your job, your hobby, your recreation, your friendships, your a bit of prestige, maybe even pursuing a pay increase, whatever it is. This would mean that seeking the kingdom of God is on your list of getting things done. Like maybe redecorating your house or getting more exercise or finish reading the book that you've started. Or maybe completing your degree or fixing a pool or whatever it is. But Jesus doesn't do that. He uses the word first. What does that mean? Jesus says there's no postponing. There's no leaving it. It's a priority. When you remember, Jesus says, your brother has something against you. Matthew 5:24, He says, first go and be reconciled. When you see the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, Matthew 7:5, He says the following, first go and take the plank out of your own eye. Don't postpone. Don't leave it. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found and call on Him while He is near. Seeking God's kingdom is an absolute priority in your life and in my life. Priority means having precedence over your whole life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year if you're in a leap year like 2020. When I think of priorities, I was thinking about this, and I remember my mom some years ago when she was alive, they discovered she went for a heart checkup, and they discovered she had unstable angina, and the doctor said, you don't even go home, we're sending you straight to a special heart hospital, you've got to get there immediately. It was an absolute priority, a life and death thing, that's priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. A priority. And then third, we observe the presence of God. We certainly can understand the presence of God, the kingdom of God in a lot of ways. In the next while, we're going to be looking at kingdom parables from next week on to get a handle on it. And certainly there are lots of facets and nuances of what the kingdom means. So much so that Jesus tells lots of stories and parables about the kingdom. And if your mind goes back to last year, we spoke a bit about the kingdom of God. It's not a place. Rather, it's the sovereign rule and reign of God in a Christian's heart. When a sinner is saved, he enters the kingdom of God. It's surrendering our lives to the leading of the Spirit. It results in social action. And of course, the fullness of the kingdom will only be when Jesus comes again. Now, all these things are true, but when you put it all together and when you go through the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' teaching from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, the kingdom of God, listen carefully, is the realm of the ungrieved spirit. It is the realm of the ungrieved spirit. It means the anointing of God on your life. The very presence of God, the immediate and direct presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, it is the power of the Spirit at work in your life. Now remember Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Luke writes and he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God, he says, is not a matter of talk, but of what? But of power. And certainly there's a legitimate seeking of God's power for His glory, not for our glory. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament, Genesis 32:28, and he says as he struggles with the angel, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And God replies to him, "You struggled, you fought, you struggled with God, and you have prevailed." We all know in that context that Jacob is blessed, his name is changed to Israel. What is Jesus saying to us this morning? Your relationship with God must be more important than anything else. The will of God in your life must be more important than anything else. The glory of God and seeking God's honor must be more important than anything else. Seeking God's face must be the most important pursuit in your life. And finding out what pleases God is your most important discovery. In other words, we need to seek God's presence in our lives. As I think back on my preaching career, and it goes back now quite a long time, we had our 23rd wedding anniversary on Saturday. Get into trouble. And I remember the times I was absolutely, in fact, the first time I was absolutely terrified when I preached. And I feel sorry for the guys who are starting their preaching careers in this church. And I remember I'd pray hard and you'd be absolutely terrified. If you know what your tongue feels like when it's like it's like sawdust in your mouth, it's scary, it's absolutely scary. And I remember on many occasions you'd be absolutely terrified when we learned how to preach. We were sent to different churches when I was in college, and you pray hard, you're absolutely terrified. You must have had the experience when you go for a job interview and you're shaking in your boots. And yet when you walk into the pulpit, there is the peace of God. That is the presence of God. That's what this is talking about. We observe the presence of God. But fourth, as we look at this verse, we see in this passage the word purity. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Notice it says His righteousness. This is God's righteousness. We need to find God in our lives. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Now, this isn't imputed righteousness. When you put your faith in Christ, you accept Him as your personal Savior, God declares you righteous or right with God. Jesus isn't speaking about that type of righteousness. This righteousness we find in Matthew 6:33 is talking about keeping God's commands in your life. This is a righteousness that comes from spending time with God in prayer, in reading His Word, in doing what He says you need to do. That is the purity that Jesus is speaking about. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, for those are the ones who will see God. Those are the ones who experience God in their lives. Purity, and then fifthly, we find a promise to claim in this passage. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that goes back to preceding verses when Jesus speaks about our needs. This is what comes when we seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness first. You receive the things that you were worried about in the first place. By asking God for more of Himself than material things, God will give you more of Himself. Plus, if you put it to one side, God will give you what you need, because God meant to you more than anything else. In the Bible, there are three types of promises. There are specific promises. We find them all across the Bible. God speaks and He makes a specific promise to a person. For example, when God met Moses at the burning bush, He made a promise that He would be faithful and bring the Israelites out of bondage back to Israel. That was a specific promise. That promise is not made to us today. That is a specific promise. We have unconditional promises. There's no conditions attached. There's no ifs. For example, Jesus promises if we accept Him as Savior and Lord, we will be saved. That is unconditional. Another example is that Jesus is coming again. Nothing what we do will change that. He will come again. That's an unconditional promise. A conditional promise has an if attached. If you do this, I will do that. Or at least it's implied. And Matthew 6:33 is a conditional promise. The assumption is that you've sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you haven't, then this promise doesn't apply to you. And certainly, Jesus puts His integrity on the line. Time and time again. And I'm sure you can testify to this. God is faithful. God is faithful. Time and time again we worry and we do. But you know what? God is faithful. And God says, don't worry. Now, I heard about a widow. This must be quite an old story, because this lady had raised a large family. She'd been interviewed by a reporter. She had six of her own children. So this must be quite a way back. And then she'd adopted another 12 children. Just imagine that. Imagine having 18 kids. I'd go bonkers. I can hardly handle 18. And although she did that, she maintained stability in her family and an air of confidence. I think that must be true, because to be confident and have 18 kids, ek weet nie how they do it. When asked what was the secret of her outstanding accomplishment, her answer to the newsman was quite surprising. She said the following: I manage so well because I'm in a partnership. What do you mean? The new newsman asked. The woman replied, many years ago I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. And I haven't had an anxious care since. And certainly we can profit by that. Lord, I'll do the work and you do the worrying. What you should worry about is whether your priority in life is to know God better and to improve your relationship with Him. You know, when that's in order, we can claim this promise, we can make it ours, because God is faithful and Jesus has put His integrity on the line. A promise to claim, and then finally this morning we find a principle. It's a subtle principle as we look at this verse. Forget about all these things, Jesus says, these things, and you will receive them. Seek these things and it'll elude you. Seek success and perhaps you won't find it. Seek God and forget about success, and He will bless you more than you dreamed. I read an article recently. It came from the British Evening Standard about a very successful TV and radio star by the name of Chris Evans. And this man was asked the following question. So why isn't this man laughing? The article reads as follows. On paper, Evans ought to be a happy man. He's just 27 years. His Channel 4 contract was said to be worth some £1.5 million a year. He has several marvelous cars, a splendid flat on the Tower Bridge, and a beautiful woman with which he can share it. But far from it, he seems quite depressed. It hit me one Sunday morning, he explains, that all I ever wanted was the 10 o'clock Saturday night slot on Channel 4. And now I'd achieve my life ambition at 27. So what do I do next? You can compare it with climbing the Everest. You climb it, but what do you do next? Climb on the North Face? Okay, but so what? And then climb it on the North Face with a grand piano over your shoulder. There has to be more to life. Finding out what might be is the problem I've had ever since that Sunday. I haven't got any closer to working it out. Seek success and you won't find it. Seek God and forget about success, and He will bless you more than you ever dreamed. Seek vindication, and you perhaps won't find it. Seek God and forget about vindication, and it will come to you in the hour that you're not thinking about it. Jesus later said in Matthew 16:25, "For whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will find it." Similarly in John chapter 12 and verse 25. The man who loves his life will lose it. In other words, what Jesus is saying there, the one who loves his life less in this world will keep it for eternal life. Remember Solomon, that man we spoke about in the Old Testament? Solomon could have sought fame and fortune, but he didn't. He sought God's favor by asking for wisdom. And God certainly gave Solomon wisdom, but he also added far more than he could ever imagine. You know, we might find that hard to do, but really it isn't. God works in absolutely amazing ways. And don't keep looking back over your shoulder and ask, what's in it for me? Now, this past week, we've been praying. We've had the week of prayer. Every night, we've had folk. We've been praying here, seeking God's face. And we focused on two texts. I want to share it with you this morning. The first is the great command, Matthew 22:37-38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And it goes on, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then we looked at the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age. We've been working on a statement for the church, and we're going to bring it certainly at the QGM. And it reads like this: love God, love people, serve nations. God is calling us to grow. And the question as we come to the close of this sermon is, will you commit yourself to God's kingdom call? God's kingdom call to love God, to love and to worship Him. Perhaps for some of you it means to be regular in coming to church on a Sunday and committing to living right before God, because that's what worship really means. Maybe it's testifying about His grace in your life, and perhaps for some it even means going through the waters of baptism to testify about God's grace in your life. We can apply it in many ways, but we need to love God. The second is to love people. To be sensitive to those around us and to serve others. Perhaps it means joining a cell group, for example, and ministering in that group to other people that you get to know and to love. Maybe it means serving others in some sort of ministry, maybe being a Sunday school teacher or even volunteering to make tea on a Sunday morning. Love God, love people, and then serve nations. Sharing the good news about Jesus, and that certainly doesn't mean going to Pakistan or China. It starts right here. It starts here in your work or your school or university, whatever else it might be. It means serving God starting here in this church. Perhaps it means praying, committing to faithfully praying for our missionaries or maybe even to support Faith Promise. I shared about this last year. We encourage our kids to give a few rand every, even if it's 5 or 10 rand. They haven't got a big salary or an income, but just to get the principle right and to give something above your tithe to missions. I've mentioned David Bull. We want to raise 7,000 rand for the next 2 semesters to support him. Love God, love people, serve the nations. Will you be a kingdom person? That's the question I want to ask this morning. Will you commit yourself to being a kingdom person? And in the next few weeks and maybe months, we're going to unpack this as we look at some of the great parables that Jesus spoke about. This morning you've looked in the bulletin, it's Commitment Sunday, and we're going to close by just being quiet and asking God, where does He want us to be? It's a simple mission statement. Love God, love people, serve nations. How does that impact your life? Let's just be quiet as we bow before the Lord, and let's ask Him to speak to us. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, as we come to the end of this service this morning, we want to be kingdom people. And Father, at the outset of 2020, we want to ask that You'd speak to us about where You want us to be. Lord, how we desire to have Your presence in our life and in the life of this church. And Father, You call us to commit ourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto You. Won't you love the Holy Spirit to just minister to you for a moment and respond to what He's saying to you specifically? Maybe it means committing yourself to a cell group or getting baptized. Maybe it means ministering in this church or praying for a missionary. Perhaps it means sorting out your act and being committed to God, not playing fast and loose with God. Won't you respond right now in your own way, quietly before the Lord? Won't you respond? Father, I pray that You'd apply the truth of the Scripture in whatever way You see fit in my life and in the life of our people. Lord, as we journey with you this year, Father, I pray that you'd help us to apply truth as we learn more about kingdom living in the coming weeks. We just ask that you would give us an understanding of your will for my life, for our lives, for this church's life. Father, we want to glorify you. Our desire is to serve you in the most appropriate way. Lord, we give you praise. Amen.